Welcome to the Scrum.org Community Podcast, a podcast from the home of Scrum. In this podcast, we feature professional Scrum trainers and other Scrum practitioners sharing their stories and experiences to help learn from the experience of others. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hi, everyone. I'm Ryan Ripley with Agile for Humans and professional Scrum trainer with Scrum.org. I'm stepping in as a guest host for episodes highlighting the experiences of other Scrum.org professional Scrum trainers. I hope you enjoy getting to know these amazing people. All right, welcome to another episode of Becoming a Scrum Master. I'm your host, Ryan Ripley. Joining me today, David, a fellow PST, professional Scrum trainer with Scrum.org. I think you're out of Canada, aren't you?
That's true. Yes. Hey, so how you doing, Ryan?
My good friend to the north. We're still friends, right? US and Canada, we're doing all right?
Yeah, I think so. We've been friends a long time. We share the longest border in the world. I've lived in the United States, nice. Out of Florida and Phoenix, Arizona. I've loved it. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, you know, there's always these little skirmishes and flare-ups, and then we make up pretty quickly. So it's kind of nice spot there. So thanks for joining. I'm going to jump right into it, David. This is your time. I want to make sure you're able to answer some of these questions to your fullest ability. And so the first one, can you share the story of how you first encountered Scrum and what motivated you to become a Scrum Master and any particular moment or experience that sparked your interest?
Yeah, that's a good question. The story is pretty simple. Like many, I was working in an enterprise and the CTO I was working for had the foresight to bring a Scrum trainer, and he sent a few of us for a two-day training seminar. I think that's a common story. People are introduced to Scrum this way. This was in 2007, and when we returned to the office after the training, we kind of had a retrospective among the 14 or so of us, and we thought, you know, should we try this? This could be interesting. Maybe this solves some problems for us. And we all agreed, yeah, let's give it a try. And then I volunteered to be the Scrum Master, and that's how it began. Now, to the second part of your question, was there a particular moment that sparked my interest? I would say before the two-day session where I learned about Scrum, I had been a freelance software developer and a freelance musician for a long, you know, period in my younger life. And when I joined the enterprise that I talked about, it was a college, you know, a large government-funded bureaucratic college. And I was part of the marketing and the web and the IT group. And it was just clumsy and difficult and bureaucratic. And when I learned of Scrum, I thought, yeah, that makes sense. That's how we should work, or we should at least try that. That seems a lot more natural to me.
Yeah, it's a very common story of getting sent to training. And then what I like about, you know, and we've recorded a bunch of these now, it seems like when an opportunity presented, you jumped into it, put your hand up and said, I want to do this. I want to try this. I want to lead this. And that seems to be a very consistent, you know, when that little narrow window of opportunity to get experience opens up, you really have to dive into it or else that opportunity may not come back around for a while.
Yeah, the two things that are important about my experience was that we all agreed to try it.
Yep.
And I think that's important. A lot of other people that I meet, they've not been part of that agreement, or Scrum has been decided by someone else in the organization, and their agreement has been implied or assumed. And I think that that's not appropriate. But the second part is that I volunteered to be, you know, to play a particular role in the Scrum team. And that's key, I think.
Oh, I think consent and then, you know, that volunteerism, two very important themes that I think show up in a lot of these stories. Was there a specific project or situation where you had a eureka moment, something that made you realize the true power and potential of Scrum? And if so, could you describe that experience?
Gosh, pretty early on, I saw the potential for Scrum. I also recognized how difficult it is, because if the environment isn't configured for cross-functional, relatively small, autonomous, self-managing teams, then it's really disruptive, right?
Sure.
it was a few years later, actually, when, well, no, I should back up here. Even at the college where I was introduced to it, shortly thereafter, I actually changed roles. I moved out of the IT department and into faculty. And I operated my classroom much like a Scrum team, where we would plan month-long learning modules, and the students were very self-managing, you know, given, let's say, projects that they could work on at their leisure, at their choice. And then, so I applied some of these practices in the classroom, and it was amazing. You know, the level of engagement from the students, the self-awareness that they had regarding their work and the evaluation of their peers, and all of that was quite remarkable. But I want to kind of end my answer to your question by sharing then that I moved across the country. I joined a startup and became a product owner with a startup in Toronto. And it was there that I really started to appreciate the effectiveness of small self-managing teams with very few dependencies on others outside the team who could serve a client or a small portfolio of clients and deliver really high quality stuff in increments. So it was there that I really became both comfortable part of a Scrum team or helping to lead a team, and comfortable with iterative and incremental development patterns like Scrum.
That's great. So clearly, been a Scrum Master before, a product owner. This one is geared more towards Scrum Master. How has your perception and execution of the Scrum Master role, or accountabilities, whichever way you prefer to think about it, how's that evolved? And are there aspects of the role or accountabilities that you view differently now compared to when you started?
That's a very good question. I think the role, when I first learned of it, I imagined it like a team facilitator, facilitate meetings, perhaps help protect the team from certain aspects of the bureaucratic challenge of an enterprise, resolve obstacles, but my thinking around those obstacles was quite narrow. I was thinking about obstacles that are in close proximity to the team. My thinking around the role has really changed over the years, where I realized that it's best served by someone with positional authority in an organization, best served by people who have deep experience. And I might be an outlier here, but I think deep experience with the technology domain, but also the business domain, so that they can help the organization through change. Most organizations aren't currently configured to enable cross-functional self-managing teams, so change is required to enable that. And a Scrum Master that has some years in the trenches and some trust among the leaders in the organization, not some trust, lots of trust among the leaders of the organization, and some positional authority that they can enact change and influence change. That's really important. So that's how my thinking around the role has evolved over time, where I think actually even a CTO or a CEO is involved in improving transparency in the organization and removing obstacles for the team and teaching about the value of iterative and incremental development and teaching about the, you know, how to navigate through complex problems. And so even at that level, they're employing a lot of Scrum Mastery. I hope that.
No, how's that? And I don't think it's an outlier. I know, within the last couple of weeks, I published a post on our scrum.org blog site talking about your next
great post, by the way.
What's that?
Great post. I mean, I saw that, and I think you're I'm aligned with that thinking. Sorry to interrupt you.
No, you're great. You're good. I think more people are coming around to that realization that Scrum Master is not an entry level role. It's not an entry level job. It requires time in the trenches, as you put it. And without the positional authority, it's a very difficult road. And that's not a, given from the LinkedIn comments, our line of thinking here is not popular right now, but I think it's going to become prevalent over the next year or two. So
I'm about that briefly.
Yeah,
my understanding from Jeff and I've not spoken with Ken directly about this, but my understanding from his perspective is that the Scrum Master role is often best served by someone with managerial authority in the organization. I'm not sure how the other idea became the norm.
I think an influx. So that's a good. So we'll tangent here for a second, because I think it's a really good question. I think the influx of project managers initially into Scrum probably led to a lot of that. A PM doesn't have positional authority, but they had project authority. And I'd imagine that shift. Plus, I mean, for some reason, Scrum Master became relegated underneath Agile Coach. And so it was seen as an entry level stepping stone up to something bigger, which I think is absolutely ridiculous. And I think you combine those two things and suddenly you have this diminished role from the outset that's just been turned into a team facilitator and meeting scheduler. And that's why then you have our work is largely focused on shifting that back to, that effective leader. That would be my uneducated guess,
I think that's a good guess. I just want to pick up on something there that, by the way, I think a good team facilitator and meeting scheduler is also incredibly effective in environments where there's otherwise chaos,
Yeah.
So even people that are taking on the role anew or they're relatively new to Scrum, I think there's a lot of value in that part of the role. But yeah, I think you and I are both aligned that ultimately a Scrum Master role within an organization has greater influence.
Oh yeah. Well, and that kind of leads into the next question. What advice would you give someone who is aspiring to become a Scrum Master? So is there a particular mindset, skill, or habit that you believe is crucial? Any experiences, I think, which is where you were going with that they should pick up? What would someone new, what should they look at?
Yeah, forgive me for a small plug here, but I actually wrote a blog article recently called What to Do in the First 90 Days as a Scrum Master. And so there's some advice. One of them is, first and foremost, I think, try to understand or find out what agreements have been made, if any. It might be that you're joining a team or a new team is forming and Scrum is assumed to be part of their ways of working, but I wouldn't assume that. I would want to find that out. Have they agreed to try Scrum? And if not, I wouldn't force it. Rather, just find out what agreements have been made. I think that's some good advice for aspiring Scrum Masters. Also, really talk to people about the definition of done. Talk to trainers and get their perspectives about this. This is such a powerful concept and often a misunderstood concept. The better you understand how that concept helps a team to make quality visible, so that they can frequently inspect the product and then adapt. It's just so powerful. So work with your team to understand their definition of done. Talk to other trainers and colleagues to really hone your own interpretation of the concept. It's a powerful concept. And then, other things like organize a meal for the team, which is to say, look at ways that the team members can have formal, official, work-related relationship, but also find ways that they can have relationships beyond the work. Sometimes just organizing a meal together is really effective, things like that. Hopefully that's good advice.
Oh, it's great advice. So I appreciate all of that. Last question. What's the one book every Scrum Master should read? It does not have to be an Agile book. It does not have to be a Scrum book. Just any book that you think. What would be the one if someone put you on the spot?
The Wisdom of Teams. I read that book a number of years ago, and I've reread it a couple of times. I think there's a lot of wisdom in that text about team development and how teams are such a powerful performance unit in an organization. That would be the first one that comes to my mind. There's a ton of other great books too. I mean, but that one comes to, or my own book. Buy my book if you wish. It's at my website.
Cool.
But no, The Wisdom of Teams.
Well, we'll provide links to both. So, well, David, I appreciate it. Anything you want to promote other than your book, or anything that you have going on that you want to get in front of the listeners before we wrap this one up?
Yeah. Great question. Thanks for that. I have written a book recently about a giant catastrophe in Canada's federal government's IT department. It's called the Phoenix Payroll System, and it's just been billions and billions of dollars just up in flames. But other things I'd like to share with your audience, I have trainings coming up regarding Scrum and Kanban. I'm always available for training or coaching and consulting. Please look me up at betterteams.fm. Thanks a lot, Ryan. This has been fun.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for doing this, and I hope we get to talk again soon.
Yeah. Cheers.